It's the Kentucky State Fantasy Football Championship Podcast with your host, Farrell Elliott. In-depth analysis, player updates, start 'em, sit 'em, more. Now here's Farrell.
It is a Week 9 daytime edition of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Badge, we have so many things going on. We have to meet here on Westport Road. What is today, Fetch? Is it Thursday already?
It's Thursday, I believe. I'm in a malaise from the Cubs' victory last night, up late. Got the little Finley here beside me. So we're going to shoot off the hip here and try to see what kind of show we can
Finley
put together.
Finley Fetcher is bouncing right off your hip. She is a how old are you, Finley? Is it two?
No, I'm one and a half.
One and a half. When Finley starts talking, folks, you won't be able to identify the words, but I'm betting that you will hear her coming through loud and clear. You know, Fetch, we've got tonight, after the broadcast, but we've got the group meeting at the New Vintage for music and football, our viewing party, and then Frederick the Younger takes stage about 10:30. If those of you who are listening to this and did not get an opportunity to come out and join us, you're already watching Thursday Night Football, so you can go to YouTube or the webpage of Frederick the Younger and take a look at the band for what they might have to offer. Fetch, you did a great job, and from players all across the league, lots of salutations for your choices last week. Isn't that right, Finley?
We had a good predicting week. Had some lot of buys, so sometimes you got to go a little off the table. But with J.J. Nelson, some of our other calls last week, I think we worked out pretty good.
I wish I had listened to you more closely, especially on the David Carr. I have my favorite quarterback on my bench on one team as he threw for 500 yards. I put him up for three out of the four teams where I have him. The one I didn't is where it made the difference. Fetch, you know, it's interesting about me. I wonder if you ever experienced this. If I gamble, I may lose. But if I don't gamble, I always lose. If I don't go ahead and take the risky choice, I always lose.
You always remember those, don't you?
So with that in question, let's jump into the first matchup that we have. It's a Thursday night matchup, 8:25 kickoff. Everyone, this game will already be official by the time you're listening to this. But my question is one that I have to have answered by you, Fetch. Carr versus Winston. Who do I put up this week?
This week is a Winston game.
It's just easy. It's just an easy choice.
Well, again with the Oakland matchup with Denver. Denver's been quarterback killers. Tlaib should be back this week. Also, the Atlanta offense has given up a ton. Our defense has given up a ton of points. Throw in the fact that it looks like Jaquizz Rodgers may not be there, which puts more workload on Jameis. I think this is a Jameis night.
This is a Jameis night on Thursday night. Thursday night has not been kind to quarterbacks. However, last week, very, very kind to Bortles over Mariota.
A late push. a garbage time push is what I would call it.
We'll get to the junk time Jaguars real soon here. So there's no reason for us to talk much about this game other than let's just talk about some players moving forward on both sides of the ball. In Atlanta, you're basically going to continue to play everybody. A player I kept on the bench last week, Mohamed Sanu, flashed in his opportunity to make a difference. What do you think about Sanu?
Sanu is just a bye week fill-in type guy. Mm-hmm. He's going to occasionally get a touchdown for you and everything else, but he is easily the third, fourth option, even in the passing game, because Devontae Freeman is such a good pass catcher out of the backfield, and Julio's a target monster.
Mike Evans was regularly taking towards the end of the first round, early second in the draft. But did you feel that drafters had a real excitement over him?
Not like they should have. I mean, he should have been – obviously, we were hyped on Allen Robinson, and we should have been more on Mike Evans. I mean, he's
remember
a touchdown.
Remember when we did the first podcast and we said we couldn't get out of Florida because we were hyped on all these great receivers in the state of Florida? This is the greatest receiver in the state of Florida and perhaps in the NFL, most consistent. 44, 595, 6 touchdowns. 44 catches already, Fetch, through 7 games.
And with the injuries at wide receiver, Vincent Jackson, looks like Russell Shepard may miss this game. He's going to continue. Throw in Adam Humphries and Cameron Brate, also good options this week with Tampa Bay.
interesting players, interesting young players moving through the Tampa Bay Bucks. Julio Jones has a big night tonight. We would expect, if the coverage goes all to him, we expect a nice performance by Sanu, perhaps. Let's go to a game where...
Well, one topic. A lot of people have tight ends on bye. Austin Hooper might be a sneaky play. I know most people won't hear this before the podcast. But with Jacob Tammy out... Hooper's going to get all those tight end targets.
Okay, tight end question. Who comes out tonight with the bigger night, Braid or Hooper?
I will say Braid, just because he's more a part of the offense regularly.
I like what Braid's doing. You know, Braid is an uncelebrated draft pick and still remains low on the radar of some owners. You know, a situation that a tight end that everyone seems to gravitate towards in the middle round, Kyle Rudolph. If you compare their numbers, Brayton Rudolph, very comparable so far this season. Okay, so we go to the Vikings in Week 9 matchup, Sunday 1 p.m. at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. It's the Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings woke up without an offensive coordinator Tuesday morning.
Yeah, Norv Turner, dog. Leaving the Vikings. But, you know, we talked. I told you a couple weeks ago that the Vikings were going to have trouble with the Eagles. I even told you that Jay Cutler and Alshon Jeffries might have a little bit of a game, which they did on Monday night.
They did. And you know, it's a situation against the Vikings that you have to wonder if their defense is going to show up against the Lions. And I think, yes, I think they get back on track.
I think you're right. They have to. The biggest thing that's going to help this Vikings defense, I believe, is the fact their offense will be able to move the ball against the Lions.
Right.
And they won't have that pressure they've had the last couple weeks where they feel like they have to win the game for them.
Well, the Houston situation held the Lions to 13 points, and I don't think any of us saw that. So with that being said, are you going to set Marvin Jones Jr., who's had a hard time after his initial start, he's had a hard time really making fantasy owners winners.
Against the Vikings, if I have better options in that area, I would set him. Because I think, as we thought earlier in the year, he's starting to look more towards Golden Tate. Eric Ebron is back now, had a decent week. I think Theo Riddick is back. Again, there's a lot more options there in Detroit.
The Detroit Lions cannot defense the tight end. Last week in Houston, Osweiler and Fedorowicz teamed up for wonderful numbers. That's it really saved Osweiler's outing. He still failed to get the ball to the receivers. What do you think about Rudolph? Is he the primary target in this offense?
Well, again, we talked earlier about how it's a bye week tight end. You need to find people. I have Jordan Reed on a team, bye week. Kyle Rudolph's my backup. Feeling comfortable putting him in right there.
I think that's a mighty fine pick for you. Give us an estimation on the game. You see the Vikings winning this by a touchdown or more.
I would say it's probably about 27-14 Vikings.
Vikings have been installed as a 6.5 Las Vegas favorite. Fetch calls for 27-14. 41 points in this game, Lions versus Vikings. That should give some opportunities for some fantasy numbers. Let's talk about Theo Riddick. He just keeps giving fantasy players exactly what they need.
He's the PPR guy that you love. I mean, he's going to get his 5 to 6 catches, going to get 40 to 50 yards, maybe even close to 100 total yards in rushing and receiving. And if he gets in the end zone, you have a great week.
1 p.m. in MetLife Stadium, East Rutherford, New Jersey. The Eagles not soaring like we expected at midseason. Go against the Giants in a bye week. The Giants coming off their bye week. And there's an interesting matchup for the Giants this week. And you talk about a PPR machine. Victor Cruz returns to the field after the bye week, and if I've noticed one thing in Philadelphia's defense, which is a very impressive defense, they've had a hard time with that slot receiver. Could Victor Cruz be the bye week fill-in we're looking for, Fetch?
You know, I don't know. They did a really good job on Cole Beasley.
Well, did they? Or did they just not do a job throwing the ball to Cole Beasley? I saw Beasley open.
He was open some, but their safety came down, wanted to run the slot. And I thought, again, either the Cowboys were scared of him or they didn't try it. But
one of the players in Cincinnati took Victor Cruz this year, and I gave him trouble for it. And the guy defended his selection, and I said, if Victor Cruz was a horse, they would have shot him. And everybody had a big, big laugh. But, you know, the laugh is on me because Victor Cruz was nowhere near a pick, and you could have been had for a very, very valuable price in the drafts very early on. What's going on in the backfield with Philadelphia Eagles? It's all Sproles all the time. What has Ryan Matthews done to get so little attention?
He gets hurt and he fumbles.
But he scored a touchdown against Dallas, giving the team a significant lead, and then we never saw him again.
Again, but that's his usage. Short yardage, goal line. In their base offense now, Darren Sproles is the running back.
But the head coach really seems to have a great difficulty with the media. He keeps talking about Matthews being his starter, being his guy, and then the next time he's interviewed, he says it's safe to say that Sproles is our guy. He really just needs to say, fellas, we'll reveal the running back tandem on Sunday. Let's see what happens.
He's got coachitis is what it is. They tend to not want to tell the truth or what they're going to do.
Who on the Giants do you see emerging after the bye week?
You know, I hope Shepard. I mean, this is the time of year usually a rookie gets that bye week, maybe gets a little more time to spend with the quarterback, really can get in sync. You know, Beckham's been a little banged up. I mean, so extra time on the practice field. For Shepard, I got to believe he's the guy, if the Giants are going to do anything, has to step up.
We said 75 catches for Shepard during our early preseason shows. Shepard threw 7 games, 31 catches, with some step-ups against some of the teams that are on the upcoming Giants schedule: Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Chicago, Cleveland. All these wide receivers should be getting the numbers. I did not expect the performance from Cruz that we've had. Cruz so far, 24 receptions. I didn't see that happening. But nevertheless, all of these receivers, somewhat subpar in Beckham's case, not reflective of a second or third pick in the first round. But nevertheless, he did have that one huge game that made fantasy owners stand up and take notice of the old Odell. Eli Manning, your starting quarterback in a lot of leagues this year? This week?
You're gonna start him just because there's so many byes. Not a great matchup. This Eagles defense is good.
Yes. Player that we've always admired at the tight end position, Zach Ertz, has become a non-factor. Why? A rookie quarterback with a bunch of receivers who have trouble catching the ball. Why is Ertz such a non-factor?
The only thing I can say is injuries. I mean, he missed some time early in the season. And with a rookie quarterback, it's getting that chemistry, that time in practice. And that's the only thing. And their coach admitted to this week, they just don't have a chemistry right now.
15 catches for 150 yards for Zach Ertz. Let's go down south. Miami, Florida. Miami Gardens, Florida at Hard Rock Stadium. A 1 p.m. kickoff from the difficult-to-figure 3-5 Jets and the Miami 3-4 Dolphins.
I mean, are the Dolphins easier to figure out? Because I should.
Two teams that will lead you with a huge conundrum. Now, he's on there, and anyone in the KFFSC, especially the Louisville boys, he's on a lot of rosters. Is Devontae Parker a credible bye week fill-in against the Jets, who are stiff against the run, but very, very weak against the pass?
I really don't believe so. I mean, he's the true third option.
Option, really?
Third in the passing game. Who's the?
Well, let's look at him. Landry.
Yes.
Stills.
Yes.
Okay, he's a third option.
There's no tight end of note that's played, and the running back, now that Foster's gone, Ajay's not really a pass-catching guy.
Okay.
Maybe Damian Williams will get some targets, but I'd still put Devontae as the third best passing option.
This game is a big scoring game. We're looking at possibly 60 points with both these teams.
Really? I do not see it that way.
What do you see?
I see more of a close to the vest. Both these teams, neither coach trusts their quarterback. Neither coach trusts
their
quarterback.
Well, I think it's very easy to trust Tannehill this weekend after we look what McNown, who came off the stretcher, not the bench. You know, but he came off the stretch. You see what I did with that pitch?
Yes.
You see what I did?
Yes.
Fetch and stretch. You see what I did?
Yeah.
Okay, so he comes off the bench, McCown. Comes into the game for the Cleveland Browns. Throws for 341 yards. What can Tannehill do with this world-class wide receiver group?
Well, the problem is the Dolphins were 1-4.
Yeah.
And they decided to hand the ball and give the ball to this guy named Jay Jai.
Mm-hmm.
And they won two straight games against
good. He's not
going to
do that again.
No, he's definitely not. You're right. Again, he's going to get stuffed. But my point is, I don't see them having a ton of confidence in Tannehill to let him throw it 45 times. They're still going to take the two-yard, go to third down, try to throw it, and punt.
If they do, the Jets will beat them, don't you think?
Well, the Dolphins' defense is fairly good, too. And again, I think the Jets, because they do not trust Fitzpatrick, are going to hand that ball off to Forte a lot.
He was an afterthought in most drafts, rarely drafted in Kentucky, sometimes drafted in the Draft Master format. Quincy Enua continues to impress. Three touchdowns. One of the most impressive plays he made last week was separating one of the defenders from the ball.
Oh, yes. Playing the defensive back role, really, in that situation saved the game, really, in a lot of ways for them. I have to believe that he's your number one receiver in the Jets. Probably your number one receiver in this game. You know, closet him and Landry, because Landry may catch 10 balls for 50 yards, but if he gets in the end zone. But, I mean, Anunua, he's on my chart ahead of Brandon Marshall now.
Wow. Something's got to give here, Fetch, because everyone in fantasy football knows the Jay Ajayi story, and then most people know that the New York Jets are number one against the rush. I think Tannehill may be an interesting start against the Jets secondary if you're just in a hell of a shape at that position. And you know I'm not a Tannehill believer, but this weekend perhaps I am. I appreciate those kind words about Jarvis Landry. He's all over my lineups. You know, we talk sometimes, Fetch, if we were in Vegas, we'd be getting rich off this game. Fetch, if we were in Vegas, I would run from this game.
Yeah, I would too. It's a hard one to predict. They both right in the wild card race if they get a win. So I think it's going to be close to the best 17-13 game, but I think the Jets win.
You think the Jets win, so do I. Let's go over to Kansas City, where the Kansas City Chiefs get probably the best thing that they possibly could. The Jacksonville Jaguars visiting for a 1 p.m. kickoff at Arrowhead Stadium. You know I love my pickup, Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek had a great game last week against the Colts. He's the true explosive player now on this team with Jamal Charles, you know, just having surgery and nothing. And Spencer Ware, a great player, but he just doesn't have that explosive. And unfortunately, Macklin's not showing that explosiveness that they needed from him.
After 2 weeks of tremendous performances, he was still available in the KFFSC last night waiver wire, which makes me wonder what some of our owners are doing falling asleep. 98 receiving yards last week, 7 on the rush, 57 for punt returns. He had a 49-yard reception, another 34-yard reception that got him in the end zone. He had a 38-yard reception the week before against the New Orleans Saints. We must make our owners wake up. And when you see this kind of performance, you got to get him on your roster. Guys sit around and talk about who they've got injured. Well, when something like this is available, what are you going to do about that, Fetch?
You got to give him a chance. I mean, he's shown he can do it with both quarterbacks, which is important as it looks like Alex Smith will be inactive this week.
The Junk Time Jaguars are a real difficult thing to wrap your hands around. Now, we see the Chiefs walking away with this game. You see like a 35-14 to 35-21 win. You don't see a defense that's going to go away like the Tennessee Titans did.
Exactly. The Jaguars have had up and down games fantasy-wise. They've had down games all across mainly, but this is the type of defense that closes it out. They don't let you get that garbage time stuff. They're very talented. I see them getting a pick or two off Bortles. I do see Kansas City playing a little closer to the vest with Nick Foles playing. I see about a 27-10 game. But Kansas City, they may be second, third best team in the NFL.
So that means that three of the top six teams in the NFL reside in the AFC West. Is that what you're saying? Think about that, Fetch.
Could be four of the top 10, because I think the Chargers are a lot better than people think they are. They just play in the toughest division in the NFL.
Well, that's why the Chiefs get this win. They'll move to 6-2, which is a good matchup, as Oakland and Denver, we have a matchup later that will determine one of those teams will have three losses at the end of the day. If we can escape the ties. Three overtime games last week, Fetch. Wasn't that a thrill?
Oh, I mean, competitive all around the board. It's been a great season.
You know, Spencer Ware went out of the game with a concussion. You got any current updates on that?
I don't. I mean, he's still in the protocol. It's usually Thursday or Friday before you know anything. I believe he'll play, but if he doesn't, Shkarndik West did do a pretty good job, even though he was banged up as well.
Did you ever consider drafting Jamaal Charles this year? Anywhere. We sat here early, and I said I wouldn't draft Charles no matter where he went.
I thought about it, but it was going to be at least third round, and then I never had to worry about it.
There's some great players in the third round, and everybody that drafted Charles, I looked at it, and I said, my goodness, what are you thinking with all these
players? Well, the only way it worked out for you if you drafted Spencer Ware to handcuff him.
Well, you know, it certainly didn't work out with the Jacksonville backfield, and this is another week that they cannot establish a running game.
Well, again, talking about Norv Turner, Greg Olsen, the offense coordinator in Jacksonville. It's amazing. I don't think any head coach has been fired yet, but I think that's like four offensive coordinators.
Yes,
so we know –
being a tail gunner.
We know where the coaches are putting the blame this year. But, you know, this offensive line cannot get any movement. I mean, Yeldon and Ivory have shown that they're a proven – well, not Yeldon, but Ivory's shown he's a proven running back. But you got to have some blocking. I mean, and they just have none. Jaguars might as well just go out and pass every down because they cannot get any movement to get the running game going.
We love Kelsey. We love Hill. We love Macklin as starters in this game. Does that mean that we love Adam Smith?
You mean – Alex? Well,
did I say Adam?
You said Adam, but he's out.
We love the great economist from the early 1800s.
You talked about Tannehill. There's a guy available on all waiver wires.
Yep.
You could take a shot on Nick Foles.
Really?
I mean, great game last week against Colts. Two touchdown passes. I think he scored 19 points. Alex had 11. They'd have had 30 points from the Kansas City quarterback.
When are we going to get Smith back?
I don't know. It was peculiar. I was watching that game as a Colts fan. Thought he had a concussion the first time. They said he didn't. No, he had a concussion the second time. They still claim he didn't. But now they're making him inactive. So
Foles came off that bench. He looked comfortable. He looked in sync with the offense. He had a lot of good things going.
What you got to remember is Nick Foles is almost as experienced as Alex Smith in this offense because he had his best year when Andy Reid was his coach in Philadelphia.
Week 9 takes us to First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio, where the Cowboys will play the Cleveland Browns, the 6-1 Cowboys against the 0-8 Cleveland Browns. So you talk about a quarterback with lack of experience. Dak Prescott moves into this situation with continuing to impress all of the football world. Ezekiel Elliott's game against the Cleveland Browns, people are predicting Jay Ajayi-like numbers. They're predicting him to get to the second level and just keep running. This is an Ezekiel Elliott dream matchup. Sometimes when those things happen so far early in the week with everybody pointing at it, you end up getting disappointed. Do you see any chance of that happening as the Cowboys move into Cleveland to play the Browns?
The only way that it's a bum for Ezekiel Elliott is if Cleveland goes into a funk and it's so blown out that Alfred Morris plays the whole second half.
Wow. Yeah, you know, Alfred had very little field time in the last game, and Elliott just continues to look better and better. But let's not look away from what the Cleveland Browns have for fantasy purposes on the offensive side of the ball. The defense is struggling largely due to injury, largely due to inexperience. But Cleveland is a fantasy juggernaut with the quarterback McCown throwing against a Dallas defense that we know quarterbacks can rack up some passing yards against, right?
It's not as much as they have in years past, but I think Josh McCown's a good bye week fill-in guy here. He's shown that he can throw the ball. Hugh Jackson gives him a lot of respect, gives him a lot of autonomy there at the line of scrimmage to do what he wants to do. And then you throw in the fact they're going to be behind.
And you throw in the fact that Gary Barnage returns to a quarterback that will target him. Let's take a real close look at Isaiah Crowell, on pace for 1,000 yards and 10 rushing TDs this year, Fetch.
For running back now in the KFFSC, it's all you can ask for.
It's all you can expect.
RB2, RB3, these are the numbers you want.
Duke Johnson plays surprisingly well when he gets the opportunity and is more of a receiver than a runner. And Pryor, at the wide receiver spot, is truly having an all-pro year. He's caught more passes than Odell Beckham.
He's been great. As long as he stays healthy, he's doing well. You got to start him this week against the Cowboys.
Dak Prescott is working his way into being your fantasy quarterback by committee to the guy that you somewhat lean on?
And I would still put him in the committee. Again, hard to start a guy where his offense leans so heavy run. And I do think you started to see a little bit of a chink in his armor. Threw a couple passes he shouldn't have against Philadelphia, especially one in the red zone.
Yes, he did.
Now, he does make up that for – it seems like he gets a rushing touchdown every game or two. So
it was the first game – I'm glad you brought that up, because it was the first game I saw where Dak looked like he had lost a little bit of his concentration.
Yeah, it did. It did. I also thought – we talked about the Cole Beasley thing, and I talked to a buddy. It seemed really weird. It seemed like the Cowboys were afraid to throw the ball over the middle. And the only time really during the meat of the game that they did that, he threw that interception. Now into overtime, they brought in Beasley and started using him, and they did get some movement. But for 3.5 quarters there, they only threw the ball out wide, it seemed like to me.
They played smart football so far. I bet they return to that against the Browns, a Browns team that is struggling defensively, has offensive weapons. I believe that'll keep the Cowboys on point. This is a fascinating game. Give me a number of just total points, Fetch. Can we get over 60 here?
I'm looking more about 57, but you're creeping up there pretty close.
This is the game. This is a game number we love. Cowboys installed as a 7.5-point favorite. They should come away with an easy win here. He is back for a 1 p.m. start at Baltimore. Do you believe it? Already, Big Ben back in the house. We'll get the 4-3 Steelers travel to M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore for a matchup against the Ravens.
I would love for him to be back. I need for him to be back. If there's one team I'm sure the Steelers are worried about bringing him back is the Ravens. This is such a physical game. These two teams do not like each other. But if Ben's back, you got to play him.
It's a tale of two different types of football. 48 receptions from Antonio Brown in this season, 5 of them in the end zone. Total touchdowns thrown by Baltimore quarterback Joe Flacco, 5.
But he does throw most of those at home. Again, Terrence West has kind of shown up as the lead back. I think this could be a good game for him. But Flacco is one of those guys you've got to take a look at if you have buys with Tom Brady and some of the better quarterbacks off.
Let's go to the undercard from Antonio Brown. What can you tell me about receivers? There's been some little coming across the wire conversations about former Raider Darius Heyward-Bey moving up with more opportunities. What's going on with the other Steeler receivers, Phil?
You know, it's a combination of things between, you know, young, immature players who maybe not are doing the right things in practice.
Uh-huh.
And guys like Marcus Wheaton, who's just struggling with injuries and can't get out on the field long enough to put in the work, I think.
What do you think about the situation, or what can we expect? What can owners expect going forward with the receiver of Pittsburgh that has flashed the most outside of Brown, and that would be Coates?
I think you got to continue to start him. He does have that deep play ability, and even though Darius Heyward-Bey may start, he's starting for one reason. He's the best blocking wide receiver they have, and he'll be in the right place all the time. Again, I think they're going to try to get back to the run more with Ben being banged up a little bit. They want Le'Veon Bell, if he gets that out in the secondary, to have a guy like Darius Heyward-Bey to maybe make that block that springs him for the touchdown.
You know, it's the situation with the Steelers. Big Ben comes back. Is this the same physical Baltimore defense that you would have seen in previous years? They look slow to me, for one thing.
It's not that. You've got some older people. Don't T-Sizzle not playing, not really putting it, you know, being hurt so much. But I still think they play fundamental defense, and they will take shots when they can. They want to hit somebody.
It's a real in the history of this matchup, it always seems to favor close games, and the home team always seems to do very, very well. There's one player on the Baltimore side that I would expect a big game from. It's a player that I'm glad to see health returning to, and that's tight end Dennis Pitta. Are you a Pitta fan? Do you own him anywhere?
I do. I'm a big Pitta fan. He's low-end tight end one now. You know, with all the struggles so many other tight ends have had, I have him in a league with Colby Fleener. I'm going to start Dennis Pitta over Colby Fleener.
Great matchup for him. Pittsburgh has given up in the last two games, two tight ends, 10 receptions, 199 yards, and a score. Let's take a break, Fetch. We'll come back and we'll talk a little league news, and we'll look at the later games coming from the West Coast.
We are just getting rid of the KFFSC.
KFFSC.
Fantasy.
Fantasy football.
Fantasy football. All season long.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Fetch, you had a fire starter of a week last week. You came on, told some predictions, told some waiver wire pickups. You were dead on. One of my favorites was, I thought Ezekiel Elliott over Philadelphia would go over 100 yards and get a score. You said maybe score, probably 85 yards. Fetch, he rushed for 84 yards. Good job with that. Then you told all the listeners not only to acquire on waiver wire, but to start J.J. Nelson of the Arizona Cardinals. And I found that most interesting, and I was thrilled to see that Amari Cooper led all receivers in fantasy points, yardage, catches, all of that great stuff last week. The number two, Fetch, J.J. Nelson.
Had quite a week. Got his chance because of injuries and, showed out when he could.
Well, kudos. Good job. It shows that we're doing a service. We lead into this. Let's give the people some things that will help them win. That certainly would help them win. And people are listening to the podcast. I got a lot of commentary on that, but not enough people. And if they are not listening, or if they are listening and not acting, we have 33 teams in the main event. Guess how many rostered J.J. Nelson going into last weekend?
I had to be, in the teens, I would say.
12. 21 teams set on the opportunity to get this player that is a big, big contributor to a powerful offense. So speaking of powerful offenses, the New Orleans Saints, with a chip on their shoulder, head west to play the 49ers. Okay, Fetch, I'm looking for 60-point games. You got to tell me we found one
here. I got to believe we are. You're putting a high-powered offense against a team that wants to run more plays than anybody else in NFL history in the 49ers. That's a combination for offense.
Okay, so start them all. Cooks, Thomas, who nobody is surprised that Thomas is doing well. We just didn't expect him to do this well. 42 catches so far this season.
Been so consistent and well. I was so impressed with his game last week against a great secondary in Seattle.
You could say he had that because Willie Snead went to the sidelines with an injury. But no, Willie Snead has 34, and they're complimenting each other on the field. What is going on in the backfield? Ingram fumbles the ball and has to go spend the whole game in the doghouse. Now everyone says start Tim Hightower.
I believe Coach Payton will go back to Ingram, but keep an eye on this. I mean, Tim Hightower came from basically a gym nowhere to have an unbelievable fantasy playoffs. This is something you want to get Hightower on your team. I'm not telling you to start him yet.
So, you know, I'm going to just leave this situation alone unless I can't. But if I have Ingram, I paid a good price for him in the draft. And I just don't – I would be so upset to be in this situation with Ingram. Drew Brees is probably the number one quarterback start this week.
I would – no reason why not.
Fleener. So, you know, start them all, get them all in the roster.
Unless you have better – Fleener's the only one that I might think about if I had a Kyle Rudolph or a Dennis Pitta who have a great matchup this week.
Flip it over. I don't see anyone to start on the Niners.
Here's the closet. I had Alex Smith as my backup. I have Ben Roethlisberger.
No, don't say it, Fett.
I picked up Colin Kaepernick. Not Tannehill.
You've lost your mojo. It's gone.
Hey, against good defenses, he started two games. He's got about 19. He's averaging 19 points, right?
They're all good defenses, especially when it comes to playing this guy.
Have you seen the Saints defense?
Josh McNown.
Have you seen
maybe
it?
Maybe you can get him Friday night.
I maybe McNown over him, but I'm telling you, the Saints are going to give up points. Who's going to score those points for the 49ers except Kaepernick?
You know, well, who is the receiver then? If you've been watching him closely, who is the receiver that he has?
Not one with, you know, Curley we loved early in the year because he had a connection, but he does not have that same connection here.
I think Curley's now droppable, sad but true.
It's probably true. I would say maybe Vance McDonald has a little bit of connection with him from years past, and I think he'll hit his backs out of the backfield. I think both Shane Geron scored a touchdown their last game.
Yeah.
So Carlos Hyde will be healthy. Maybe he hits him out of the backfield. I think Kaepernick may get a rushing touchdown this week. I think it's going. What are we talking? It's going to be over 60. I don't think the Saints are scoring 60.
No, they're scoring 54.
This is in San Francisco. The Saints do not play the same kind of total team effort away from the road. I think this is a 35-24 game. That's three touchdowns for the 49ers. Somebody's got to get, but I think Cap's a sneaky pick if you've got to need that quarterback spot.
The Saints win this game 49-14, Fetch, and one of those touchdowns comes from a Mark Ingram-type play of a receiver just throwing the ball, being hit, and the ball flies up, and a defender from the 49ers who may, upon recovering, run in the right direction and get to the end zone. Let's move on. Everyone knows to play your Saints if you've got them in numbers on your team, because some of them stack them. Have you ever looked at Kimmer's team? Some of these folks really stack Saints. Play them all. Get them in the lineup. Does that include Coleman?
I think you can play Coleman. I mean, he's the fourth option at wide receiver, but I mean, he gets touches. Again, they're going to score a lot of points if you got a number two on a bad offense. Wide receiver number two, they don't throw the ball. I would start Coleman over him this week.
I think everybody knows this, so let's move on. We'll move down to Los Angeles. We're the best 2-5 team in football. The Carolina Panthers invade the Coliseum to play the worst 3-4 team in football. I pick a Carolina victory here by at least a touchdown. Fetch, what do you think?
I'm going to switch. I'm going to go Rams here.
Oh, my God.
This is the kind of game the Rams like, a little physical game. They're going to try to really, you know, muddle it up, really try to pound the Panthers. And I think Gurley finally gets going. I think the Rams get this close game 20-17.
I
obviously don't believe in the Panthers. I was wrong about them last week in Arizona.
Jonathan Stewart is back. Yeah, you are wrong. I was right about that, but I wasn't going to point that out and beat you over the head with it. But since you brought it up, let's talk. No. The situation with the Carolina Panthers is that game got their mojo back. And it's their running back, Stewart, looked wonderful carrying the ball. Have you ever seen Olsen have back-to-back bad games? Not rarely. And he was a non-contributor last week in a win. I imagine he contributed in different ways, especially laying down those blocks. He returns as a pass catcher this week. I think the Panthers top the Rams in every aspect of the game, particularly including the kicking game. I'm beginning to like Gano.
Graham Gano had a great year last year. He struggled a little earlier in the year. But yes, I mean, he's the type of guy that can get it going here. My interesting thing is how many times are the Rams going to take shots at Cam, and is that going to bother him?
I suggest that we will find that Gurley lives up his average on the rushing, and he gets about 3 yards an attempt this game.
They got to get him going. I got to believe maybe this is the week they do it.
We're dealing with a big sample here. See, Finley is even complaining about some. Finley is complaining about some of your prognostications here. Remember, Fetch, we want to help the people win, and you're giving them information that, you know, Gurley, we're dealing with a good sample size, 134 carries. He's averaging 3 yards a game. Now, whether it's the lack of a passing attack, the offensive line, sophomore slump, I don't know what it is, but I expect it continues against the Panthers.
It may very well, but I've got to think Fisher's going to – coming off a bye week, he's got to get it going. I think maybe this is when he does it.
36 receptions for Tavon Austin on 64 targets this year. How do you target him 64 times when you only or how do you get only 36 out of 64 when he's only 10 yards away from the ball on most of his targets? I don't understand this.
Well, again, the quarterback needs some work there in L.A. Why Jared Goff hasn't got a chance yet, it bewilders everybody.
3-4 In fact, we'll see those Rams go to 3-5. We'll see the Panthers improve to 3-5 on their marathon effort to get back into the race and to make a legitimate run at returning to the playoffs. We're not going to be left with just California entries in the 4 o'clock broadcast schedule because of 4:25 kickoff. The Indianapolis Colts travel to the 4-3 Green Bay Packers. The Colts miraculously at 3-5, although I don't think they're playing as well as even that record. We're in a situation here, Fetch, much like what we talked about on several games this year. The Colts' porous defense suggests you start all the Packers. Let's go to the one we have the biggest question about, Randall Cobb.
I am being banged up. So many options. I still have to start him as long as he's active because this Colts secondary is so bad.
Is there – okay, where do you draw that line? We've talked earlier about Tyreek Hill. Would you put Hill over Cobb?
I would not. No, Cobb will get enough targets. He'll get more.
The situation with Davante Adams is a fantasy player's dream. Is this going to continue?
You know, they used him a little bit in the Ty Montgomery role last week. Right. So a little bit has to do with what – receivers and what running backs are going to be active, but right now I have to start basically all four guys: Ty, Devontae, Cobb, and Jordy.
Adams was a player that was dropped in some leagues, was free agent available, and he's now in a situation where he leads the team in numbers of catches and in yards per catch.
I mean, he's a really talented guy, and as long as he doesn't have to be the guy, I think he continues to flourish in Green Bay.
The running back situation continues to be a mystery, which means Aaron Rodgers should throw more passes. Are owners getting what they expected from Aaron Rodgers with this great volume in fantasy points?
The last few weeks they have. It started out slow, but now that they've really did what they probably should do all year. There is a little rumbling that James Starks may be back this week, so that could change a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll help them as a team, but will change the fantasy dynamic of Montgomery and Adams, I do think, a little bit.
What's Frank Gore going to do to this Packers defense?
Not rush for 100 yards.
Now, what numbers do you have for him?
I would say around 50 yards rushing.
When it comes to fantasy points, Jack Doyle is one of the top-performing tight ends in fantasy football. Does that continue?
Again, injury issues. Dwayne Allen looks like he may be back this week, and that will cut into a lot of his snaps. Dante Moncrief being back.
Do you really think that? How do you take this kid Doyle down? We talked about chemistry previously with all these teams. How does a coach take this kid out of the lineup?
It's not that his role diminishes. It's not that he was always kind of the second tight end to Dwayne Allen because Dwayne Allen's an excellent blocker. Now you throw in the fact that I think the numbers Andrew Luck and Dante Moncrief have played 13 games together, and I think he's caught 10 touchdown passes. That's where Jack Doyle was really making his hay in the red zone. Now if his new favorite red zone target, Dante Moncrief, is back, that cuts down on Jack Doyle's targets in that red zone, which is really, especially in this new tight end thing, where they have to make their money. And if he's not going to get touchdowns, he's not a play.
You know, the Packers have won 3 in a row at home. We expect this to continue. Is this a one-sided game, or do the Colts put up a good effort?
You know, with Andrew Luck, you always have a chance. He's gotten a lot of his points, bringing his team back late in games. I do think Packers win, but I think the bad, porous pass defense of the Green Bay allows the Colts to stay in it, maybe make a late touchdown to cut it to four or something like that. So I think it's fairly close, but Packers win fairly easy.
The Packers have become a very favorable defensive play here going, especially late into the season. They're playing some teams that that aren't really going to scare us in fantasy numbers. Do you think this is a game that they get to Luck, that there'll be a lot of turnovers, and that they will keep the Colts under 24 points to get that, to keep that nasty negative away that the KFFSC will throw at your fantasy defense?
I think the Green Bay Packers are a defense that that you play to not win but not to lose, because you're right. They're going to get – Luck has notoriously lately turned the ball over, so they may get two turnovers, a couple sacks, but they're probably going to give up 24 points, which leaves them at 3 or 4 points. And, again, it's maybe a safe play, but I don't think it wins you championships. I would go somewhere else on defense, somebody Miami or a Jets that's got a chance to get a touchdown or do something great.
Right. Well, speaking of some guys that have their eyes on winning the championship, Fetch, let's take a quick look at our top 10 because we've got some changes in it. Chad Schroeder continues to lead. That is not a change. Ron Meyer, the forgotten man, takes up the number 2 position. Danny Mueller has moved all the way up to 3. Danny Mueller, the ground and pound entry. Danny's having an impressive run. Your good friend Rob Sangerman, fueled by the Devontae Adams' 25 receptions in the last 2 games, the most in Green Bay Packers story history. Then we have in the 5th spot one of our local boys that I always love talking fantasy football with, Taylor Casey. You ever spend any time with Taylor?
Oh, Taylor's a good guy.
Taylor is also joining Travis Cox and Fussy Elmore on the Fantasy Fuss podcast. We encourage listeners to take a listen to that. Our old pal, Kevin Kerr, former champion of the KFFSC from back in 2008 or 2006. Either way, Kevin Kerr has managed to get in the top 10. He is 6th right now. Mike Simon, who plays out of Cincinnati, Mike is at 7th. Andrew Howard, who was actually in about what from pictures looks to me to be about the 10th row behind the visitors' dugout last night in Cleveland. Andrew Howard living the life, number 8 in our league. The fantasy Swerth, Christian Werikas out of Philly in the number 9 position. Guys that everyone knows. Holding down the number 10 position. If you play fantasy football in Kentucky, you know the names Kerry and Fox are only back-to-back champions in the KFFSC history. My pal Jeff Joaquin still knocking on the door. Jeff Joaquin, now of Connecticut, recently of Los Angeles, really just a man of the world. Glad to have him here in the KFFSC doing so well. All of these guys have probably made the right moves when it comes to playing San Diego Chargers this year. And the Chargers will be hosting the 4-4 Titans, the better team, the Chargers with a 3-5 record, according to me. A great run game by both teams. If I had told you that DeMarco Murray and Melvin Gordon would be running backs that everyone cherished by week 9, Fetch, would you have believed me?
DeMarco, I would have. Again, Melvin has really, really blossomed, partially due to the absence of Danny Woodhead. It's given him a lot more options, a lot more targets, a lot more,
plays. And a lot more touchdowns.
Yes, yes.
It's a situation with DeMarco Murray that I think we all saw coming. I think what left drafters just – why DeMarco Murray never shot up beyond where he was being drafted was the Derrick Henry question.
He's having a great season. He may not even be the most talented back in his backfield. I mean, it's really true. If you watch that game Thursday night, Derrick Henry looked good.
We're going to get more Derrick Henry as the season goes along, but I don't think that's going to discourage anyone about DeMarco Murray. Now, let's take a look at what the Chargers bring to the table in the receiver corps. And the guy we got to focus on is Tyrell Williams. One catch week last week. Does Tyrell Williams return to be what we've seen, the leading receiver in the San Diego Chargers?
You know, I'm not sure. He's banged up a little bit, missed practice some last week, missed practice again yesterday. Everybody says he's going to be ready to go. But the guy I think you might want to be focusing in on here is Dontrell Inman. Mm-hmm. Benjamin and Tyrell are both a little banged up and everything else. You know, Dontrell Inman against a great secondary, had 4 for 72 last week, a decent week, a guy that he trusts, Philip Rivers
Inman
trusts.
Inman has always passed the eye test, too. He always looks like the guy. They're good at getting players that look like the guy. And, you know, you take a rookie has played very, very well in Williams. I'm pleased he's on my rosters. But a rookie out of Western Oregon that now has to continue to play well and play well hurt, we don't know how that's going to play.
And Philip Rivers is notorious on he's going to go to who's hot, who's open, what the defense gives him. They're all three playable wide receivers each week. You just got to watch the injury thing. I know Benjamin now, they're getting a second opinion on his PCL and a little iffy there. So, I mean, this is just a situation to watch. But if you get a chance to start him, Titans give up passing yards. They did it late last week, and I think they'll give it some this week. That Tom Capers is notorious for blitzing. Philip Rivers is smart. He knows how to handle that. And there could be some big plays in the passing game for San Diego this week.
So do we see Antonio Gates returning to the Antonio Gates?
I think Antonio Gates should have another big game.
Let's take a look at the other tight end. Delanie Walker has been less than the stud tight end that I would have liked him to be this year. He still contributes and contributes well. Delanie Walker comes in one of those 20-25 point games against this team.
Again, the Chargers defense is good. I think you're more in the teens. Delanie Walker really blossomed last year, partially because they were behind so much. Now that they're a little more competitive, win, just like last week, they got ahead, used him in the first half and kind of slowed up and didn't get as many touches in the second half. I see this as a competitive game. I see him, you know, 6 catches, 70 yards. Type area.
Titans wins this year come at Detroit, which was surprising, at Miami, which perhaps wasn't. They outlasted Cleveland 28-26 at home, although that game perhaps not as close as it looked. And then they totally blew an unprepared Jacksonville off the field in the first half and then coasted to victory in the second half. I think the Titans go to San Diego and really get it handed to them this week.
I don't know if they'll get it handed to them because I do think they're becoming a young competitive team, but they get beat. This AFC West is a monster. San Diego's in any other division, they're competing for the title.
Tennessee has been a different team on the road, and San Diego has been a much, much different team at home. But Fetch believes that the San Diego Chargers will make a run at the AFC West or at least cause some headaches for the competitors there. Fetch, let's take a quick break, coming back, and wrap it up about the game that I just can't wait to talk about, the Broncos and the Raiders on Sunday Night Football.
The Kentucky State Fantasy Football State Championship. Season-long fantasy football. Hand down the best fantasy football experience you will find.
KFFSC.
Fantasy.
Fantasy. Fantasy football.
Get in it to win it.
Bench, how many teams you play this year?
I have 3 in the main event.
3 in the main event. How many do you have, Ancillary? I know you got a Vegas team.
No, I got a keeper team.
You got a keeper team. We don't have an I Want Vegas team.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm not the young man that's falling in love with. I'd love to go back to Vegas days, but it's just.
You're going to take all these kids with you? They'll like the pool.
When I'm retired. When I'm retired.
They don't have kiddie pools in Vegas.
Exactly.
I noticed that. Well, you know, no matter how many teams you're playing, drafting never goes out of style. We have had so much fun with our midseason drafts, and I don't want to appear to be selling anything, guys, but we've got 2 drafts that we believe will be official next Wednesday night. We need some more involvement, but people that have drafted Johnny Duckworth dropped in on one and came out in the Johnny wants to return to the Big Payback, so he's playing the Big Payback play-in. And Johnny went out to the lead last week. He's about 20 points up on the field. And everybody is really, really enjoying him. So if you haven't considered this, we'd like the listeners to do so. And we have some players love it so much. Christy Franklin is drafted in every one of them. Jimmy Johnson's drafted in several of them. It's just a whole lot of fun.
You know, I got to facilitate one. They're very interesting. So much different because you actually have statistics from that year. You've actually seen people players. So it's none of these, oh, I got to go about the old rankings or projections. No. You actually have actual footage and stats and numbers that you can look at, and you kind of go all over the place, and it's really interesting.
You know, next Wednesday night is our next opportunity. We have an early bird at 7 o'clock. We follow it up with the 10 o'clock draft, two drafts. We'll have 7 weeks of play in total point play to go for the rest of the year. We had to get by this bye weeks. We had to get by this World Series. There's just too much activity. Tonight we have the viewing party that is going to be a whole lot of fun. So we've got a lot of activities to keep all our players engaged. And I wish I could draft in a midseason league. The FFPC doesn't have them, and so I can't draft in one. But if I did, you know what I'd do? I would take all Raiders in the first five rounds, and I would be ready for Sunday night, 8:30 at Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. The Denver Broncos invade the Oakland Raiders in the most intriguing matchup of this week in football, week 9. So, Fetch, first of all, about the game, what do you think?
It's intriguing, Matt. You're right. I mean, you've got this young, explosive offense that's playing against maybe one of the best defenses we've seen since the Ravens back in the early 2000s. We've basically said it. Most of the time, you got to start all your quarterbacks and wide receivers against this team. And there's no way you're not starting these guys from the Raiders because you drafted them and they're doing so well for you. So it could be a real, you know, it's a matchup of two great ones. It's intriguing to see what happens.
It will be. The Raiders put up 626 yards in total offense last week, still had to go to overtime on the road to win the game. A situation with their defense. How is Denver going to attack that? Through the air, on the ground, a combination of both, balanced attack. They're obviously, part of their plan will be to keep the ball out of the hands of the Raiders, and when the Raiders do have snaps, it's keeping a fresh defense on the field to thwart them.
You know, they're going to run the ball with this new rookie, Devontae Booker. He looked fairly good. Fumbled the ball, so you got to worry about that. Always a coach's nightmare. But they're going to take shots because people have thrown the ball in the Raiders.
Yes,
they're
going to
take shots with especially Emmanuel Sanders, who I think has played really well. His numbers aren't what they've been. Last year they weren't great, but the years before that. But he's had a really, you know, solid year, makes a lot of big catches for them, and I think he could have a big night here against the Raiders.
Through 8 games this year, Sanders, 44 receptions and 3 touchdowns. I would say he's on his way to do his thing. We talked earlier about the fact that there are some quarterbacks that we would start in front of Carr. We identified Winston as one you would start in front of Carr. Would you start Eli Manning in front of Carr this week?
No, but I have respect for that Eagles defense.
Where do you draw the line? Who would you start McCown in front of Carr?
No, I
Dak
wouldn't.
Dak Prescott?
Nope.
Okay. So Carr is really gained a great deal of respect, especially after throwing up those 500 yards at Tampa. It's awfully hard to shoot that horse that won the race last week for anyone. Let's take a look at our two receivers, our two main receivers for Oakland, Crabtree and Cooper. Which one of these guys, I know you're going to play Cooper, is there any entertainment about setting Crabtree? I don't think so.
I don't think so. He's such a red zone target. Last week he didn't get one, but it was only because of pass interference, which he probably did, but that's what you love about him. Down in the red zone, he's so physical. He creates that separation. And because of that, Carr's not afraid to throw him the ball in a tight situation because he knows he'll fight for it.
Wide receivers in this league are averaging 9 receptions, all wide receivers, 9 receptions per game against the Broncos. The last week, Cooper had how many? And Carr, you know, they
have, yeah, no, yeah, no.
Each one of them have more than that. So, who's, you know, I make a lot of the biggest mistake I make in all of football is not giving enough credit to the defensive side of the ball. As fantasy players, we're in love with the great. We think that offense can sometimes overcome defense. I don't think this Broncos defense is the same. They're beat up a little in the secondary, right?
They are. Talib did not play last week.
What do you think? Let's just go to it. Who's going to win this game, Fed?
I think the Broncos are going to win. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a 20-17 game. I mean, we talked about the Broncos being banged up last week. Phillip Rivers still only threw for a couple hundred yards, and I think he threw three picks last week against the Broncos, two or three. So, I mean, they're good. And I don't think people understand the travel that goes on in the NFL. The Raiders, it seems like, have went east every week this week.
They stayed in Florida last
week. I know that. But, again, now they got to come back home. But I think that's eventually going to wear on them. That's a lot of travel. It's a big game. First really big game for this young team. I just don't know if they're ready for that. And we know the Broncos are ready for that. They've been there. They've done that. Think they maybe teach a lesson. I think Denver wins the battle. Still think your Raiders may win the war, though.
Interesting. You know, you can't. I don't know if the Raiders can win this division without beating Denver at home. You look at it and you say, well, you've got to get a split against the Broncos. They play the Broncos again, and for fantasy football purposes, this matchup will be off the board because that's a January 1 meeting at Denver, the final game of the season. So I think it's a situation where if the Raiders are going to take it, I sure would like to see them take it. So let's look at the Raiders' backfield. Murray has stepped up with five rushing touchdowns, have helped. Latavius Murray gets a start in many of your scenarios this week, Fetch?
No. I try not to start any. Again, you're really high on Murray. I consider him more mid-level against a great team. I just won't start him.
We're going to have to see if we can get fantasy performance for the Raiders that'll make fantasy owners happy. With the Raiders scoring 21 is what you have them?
17.
You have them 17. I have them 24. I have them winning the game by 3 points. It comes down to a kicking game. I think Janikowski comes back for the situation of missing the two field goals last week. I think Janikowski is back on point for this game. One thing I can predict 100% is come 8:30 on Sunday night, I'm in front of the television. This Red Zone Warrior is going to actually get to watch every play of every game on Sunday night. And then Monday night, we'll be joining our hosts Travis and Jamie Cox at the Hooters. With Fetcher coming out next Monday night for the Bills versus the Seahawks. The 4-4 Bills travel to Century League Field in Seattle to play the 4-2 and, yes, 1, Fetch, 4-2-1 Seattle Seahawks. Talk to me about what's happening in the Bills' backfield.
I wish I knew. It sounds like McCoy going to try to go this week. Again, as a fantasy player, this being a Monday night game, if I have anything else, I'm lucky I have a really deep running back team, and I'm thinking about setting McCoy for Terrence West and for Devontae Booker there in Denver.
Yeah.
So because I just don't know, and I don't want to get a situation where they decide at the last second they don't play him. Again, it's a tough matchup anyway. Seahawks are usually a good against the run at home. Usually don't give up many points to teams at home.
Tyrod Taylor, 9 touchdowns in the air, only 2 interceptions. Is this player a start anywhere for you at any time?
Not this week. I've started him at times, and he can be a good bye week fill-in, but not against Seattle. I think we go back to our old adage with the Bills, and now with McCoy hurt, I don't start anybody for the Bills.
The Seahawks defense, is that a big play this week against the Bills?
Definitely. You want this. You drafted the Seahawks to play them almost every week, and you drafted them to hopefully have a game like this on Monday Night Football, that crowd going crazy, creating pressure, turnovers, hoping for a big game from them.
Another a game where you could say that the Seahawks might hold the Bills to 10 points or less, and you can benefit from those bonus points of our defensive rules. Are there any other numbers about this game that you particularly see or particularly like?
You know, I mean, Russell Wilson has really struggled. You could tell he's hurt. One thing I would tell people, they sound like they really want to start using this ProSize out of the backfield.
He looks
good. They need another weapon. They need something to help Russell out because he just doesn't have that explosiveness. They can't really use him in the run game like they used to. So ProSize may be a guy that we start getting some fantasy numbers from, maybe using here in the future.
7 receptions for ProSize, averaging 13.7 a reception. He's using the getaway sticks to get away from the defense and break the tackles. What do you see? There was a player drafted fifth, sometimes definitely sixth, sometimes he would last to the seventh. I didn't get it. I liked the player. He flashed, and I respected all the guys that were drafting him. But Tyler Lockett, is it time to say goodbye to Tyler Lockett?
You know what? I drafted him fairly high, I think fifth round in one league. I played him 2 weeks, and I haven't played him since, mainly because of injury. I mean, he got hurt, or he had a PCL injury. And then this injury to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, we've all had this thing that, he's this great pocket passer, plus he can run. Well, now that we found out when he's banged up and can't run, he's not as good a pocket passer as we really thought he was.
I never really, really bought that. Fetch, we've got a lot of teams on bye. Well, let's finish it up. You expect the Seahawks winning this game
Seahawks,
by two touchdowns?
Yes, easily. I may not even be that close. You can probably go to bed at halftime.
We got a lot of teams on bye, Fetch. You know we don't go to bed at halftime. How the hell are you going to go to bed when we're with Hooters, with the Cox brothers, and the rest of the KFA? Fetch, we'll see you Monday night at Hooters. Let's wind up just taking just a little commentary about some of our bye weeks. The Cardinals are flashing great fantasy numbers, especially with the addition of Nelson. Got anything to say about the Cardinals?
No, I mean, that's a team that's almost has to win out. So you're talking about you're going to have good fantasy numbers from these guys because they're not giving up. They're staying in every game. They're going to pull out all the stops to win.
Jay Cutler comes back to the Bears and really shocks the Vikings. Jordan Howard was told that they were playing the Minnesota Gophers, and it's just like college days. He went back and just ran through the Vikings. Interesting situation with the Bears. A Fetch again. We continue to laud the Fetch. I said, who do I play? Quinton or Miller? Fetch easily said Miller. I played Whitten. I was disappointed with Whitten despite the touchdown. Miller, the tight end at the Bears, close to 20 points, and he and Cutler looked like an instant connection from game one. Cincinnati Bengals 3-4-1. I think it's a surprising record. A.J. Green is the steadiest wide receiver of the first round picks, wouldn't you say?
He's been great. And the biggest news in Cincinnati fantasy wise is the fact Eifert's back, and he looks like he's the Eifert from last year now that he's healthy.
Texans come out of the bye week at Jacksonville next week on November 13th. That'll be a good game for them. Fedorowicz is elevated as a target. Will Hopkins ever get going?
Not unless Brock gets going. I mean, the Texans are two different teams. They're a team that plays in Houston that is competitive, wins games, not explosive, but does enough on offense to keep their defense able to control the game. On the road, they're horrible. There's no better way to – maybe one of the worst teams in the league on the road.
Well, their road trips this year have been at New England, at Minnesota, and at Denver. At Jacksonville should be a different experience. The Patriots may get back another weapon immediately after the bye week in Deion Lewis.
And all that does is make Tom Brady better. And that's scary. That's really scary.
It was fascinating. You were so correct about playing Hogan against Buffalo. You know, Jamie Cox hammered that hard as well in conversations with me. The Redskins, 4-3-1, get a nice break. Does Matt Jones remain the starter when he returns after the bye?
I think so. I mean, he's their guy, knows the offense. But, I mean, he's still going to get it's almost going to be like a three-way split. I mean, Robert Kelly's only going to get a couple carries, but they're going to get him a couple carries a game because he's looked good enough. And the biggest hindrance to all this is all these weapons they have in the receiving core. I mean, Jamison Crowder is one of the best number three slot guys there in the game. Looks great. Then you got the tight ends. I mean, Vernon Davis, I mean, you would consider their maybe their fourth or fifth passing option, went for 90 yards.
And they last come game. Back after the bye week. They come back against the Minnesota Vikings. Fetch will come back next Wednesday with the podcast and be up by Thursday. We appreciate all the listeners. We appreciate our league members, and we invite you to join us here just like Finley Fetcher did today for our broadcast. She's a real sweetheart and had a great time here with Fetch and Family. It's Farrell, Fetch and Family. Listen to us on our podcast, guys, and contribute in any way that you can. Two more drafts next week, Fetch. The Hooters meetups on every Monday night. And if you're listening to this, I hope you had a great time with us at the New Vintage on Thursday night.
Cubs, World Series champs.